Well, as I've said so many times in the past, I'm excited to bring this lesson today. This is something that's very precious to me, and I have called this series Life-Changing Lessons in Prayer. We have had life-changing lessons in supplication for 11 of those lessons, 12, depending on how you count them. For us, it was 11. Then we had a life-changing lesson that I believe is life-changing if you grasp it, on the subject of Thanksgiving, which we did over Thanksgiving weekend. And then we talked about Bible meditation, which is part of prayer. And today we come to praise. This is such a big topic, and we're going to plow through a lot of Bible verses. It's a big subject. But if I can just ask you again to try to stay with me in this, because this is, without exaggeration, this is groundbreaking. And if you see it, even if you just see it better, like you've already seen it, but you see it better today, then we will have had a great service. So in Acts chapter 16, verse 19, we have this fascinating New Testament text on praise. They caught Paul and Silas because they had led to the Lord a demon-possessed girl who was reading fortunes for her master and making her master money by reading fortunes. And then, of course, once she was saved, she couldn't read fortunes anymore. And the masters were upset. We just lost our cash cow. We won't get any money for fortune telling anymore. So they hauled Paul and Silas to the magistrates, to the government, and complained. So they caught Paul and Silas, brought them to the magistrates, and when they laid many lashes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. The word for saying praises in Greek, humneo, and you see H-U-M-N is the same as H-Y-M-N. They sang hymns. They sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were loosened. And so the great story here is that when they praised the Lord at midnight, there was an earthquake, and the whole bondage thing was broken. And then, of course, you know, the Philippian jailer and his family all became Christians on that particular night. Well, what a great story about praise. What were they doing? They were praising. When were they praising? When their backs had been lashed and they'd been unjustly accused, unjustly jailed. And in the worst possible circumstances, they're praising the Lord. And then the Lord moves in a miraculous way. Well, such is praise. Today we want to talk about the awe of praise. If your life is boring, it's boring because you lack awe. What you really need is a sense of awe. And when you lose that, it's hard to wake up in the morning. Only in the Christian faith can you have a renewed, refreshed sense of awe over and over and over again throughout the course of your life or even throughout the course of your day. So we're going to talk about unceasing praise. We talk about praying without ceasing, that sort of thing, and praise is part of that. And then we're going to talk about the awe of praise. The awe of praise that motivates praise. In other words, sometimes awe just settles upon you, and then you want to praise the Lord, which is great. But sometimes also there is an awe that comes when you do praise, and that's even more important. So we'll talk about that and start with this idea of unceasing praise. Remember we said there are several elements that should be included in your unceasing prayer. Prayers that you mention to the Lord many times in a day, or sometimes even many times in an hour, which we'll talk about more again as we go through this lesson today. But requests are part of your unceasing prayer life. Thanks, praise is what we're looking at today. Meditation, confession, all of these things are included with your unceasing prayer. Pray without ceasing. But today, number three, praise. Unceasing praise. Here's what it sounds like in Scripture. Psalm 71, verse 6. By you I have been held up from the womb. You are the one who took me out of my mother's inward parts. My praise shall be continually of you. So we're going to do it all the time, continually. Psalm 71, 8. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and your honor all the day. I praise you all the day long. In Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more, all the time more and more. Psalm 119, 164. 7 times a day, I'll praise you because of your righteous judgments. Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day, I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Psalm 34, verse 1. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun, sunrise, to the going down of the sun, the Lord's name is to be praised. And I love Psalm 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name. Let them sing praises to him. Let the saints sing aloud upon their beds. Even when you go to sleep, even when it's time for you to go to sleep, you still praise the Lord lying there in your beds. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed. I'm set. I am determined. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And by the way, that's the same as Psalm 108, verse 1. Psalm 142, verse 5. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then the same thing in Psalm 42, verse 11. I shall yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God. And Psalm 43, 5 says the same thing again. I shall yet praise him even more, even still. I shall yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God. So we're supposed to praise the Lord all the time, even on our beds, from sunrise to sunset, 7 times a day, continually. That's how we praise the Lord. It is unceasing with us, and it should be. Praise. What exactly is praise? What are we even talking about? Praise. Well, praise is mentioning to God, addressing to God with radiance. Sometimes the word glory is used for praise as well, and glory means radiance. With radiance and admiration, we're talking to God about all the reasons we love and admire him. And you can imagine that God would like this kind of language. You do, right? It's what draws people together. So we're going to mention to God all the things that we love and admire about him. Praise for what he gives us is very good, and that's very much related to thanks. Praise for what kind of a person he is a little special. So when we talk about thanksgiving, you tend to thank the Lord for very specific things. We call those, you know, the micro matters in life. Thank you, Lord, for this food, because we're about to eat this food. Thank you for giving me a break with my job. Thank you for giving me a break with this relationship. And it's quite specific. Praise is macro. It's general. It tends to be. Of course, there's overlap. But praise is like this. So listen, what's so great about your husband, your wife, your child? Like, oh, you kind of have me on the spot here. I don't know. He's just great, you know? And that's praise. It's like, well, okay, give me a moment. Okay, so he's very generous, and he's starting to macro down into micro. He's great. He's generous. Well, for example, he's such a sweet kid. He gave his neighbor his bicycle. All right, so you see, praise starts macro, and then as you get down, thanksgiving might be more micro. So praise oftentimes is, so what's so great about God? And you have to answer that question, so that's praise. All right, we have to talk about musical praise. That's not the only kind of praise, but it comes up a lot. And I'm going to talk about it a lot today because it will help you. If you were following along with your devotional guide that we provide for you, you notice that today was a quote from Jonathan Edwards. And he was saying that during the first Great Awakening, before our country was a nation, he said, during this revival, the people had a sense that they wanted to worship the Lord, but they feared that they could not worship him as well as they wished. And so they wanted other people to help them worship. And so they would come to church. So let's all worship together. And sometimes you can't quite think of the words to say. So, you know, what do the poets say? Somebody give me a leg up here. How can I praise the Lord? What do I do? And this is why music is so helpful. Besides which, music helps you remember things. It's such a useful tool. And it's really big in Scripture. So we should pay attention to it. Musical praise. There are at least, but really well over, 40 direct references to praising the Lord with music in the Scripture. Surely 20% of all of the praise texts of Scripture have a music reference in the context. So, you know, 1 out of 5. But the problem is, it's really hard to even count that. So, for example, in Psalm 150, you say, okay, well, here is a text, a chapter, a short chapter on praise. So, do we say that music is associated with praise one time for the entire 150th Psalm, or many times. So here's what it says. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And then notice this. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. So do we have three references to music there in our praise, or just one? We should count, you know, verse 3 as one, or should we count it as three, or is the whole psalm just one? I mean, how do you count these things? Same problem in verse 4. Praise Him with the timbrel, the dance, stringed instruments, organs. All right, how many references to musical praise do we have there? Are we just saying, well, the verse is one, and verse 3 can be one, and verse 4 can be one, and verse 5? I mean, how do you count this? So again, surely 20% of all the references to praise in Scripture are associated with musical praise. So it becomes a really important thing. And musical praise is a wonderful thing to study. So you see that it's both singing and instruments. And it is going to include a handful of instruments, not just one kind of church instrument. It includes a loud noise and loud cymbals and a great shout. And it also includes even dancing. At least we have Dainu on Easter Sunday. And it also includes bowed heads, not loud. And it includes a new song. And all of that's very precious. All right. We're praising God for the kind of person He is. So thanksgiving is going to be micro, something very specific. And praise tends to be macro, something very general. For what kind of a God He is. Praise has you, when it is done, in its pinnacle, climactic form, praise has you in a mood that strikes you as fear of God, fascination with God, and wonder. It is awe-inspiring. It is breathtaking. And we should feel like that all the time. We don't, because we're naughty. We aren't that great. But that's the way God deserves for us to feel all the time, right? And so when we have it right, we are praising the Lord, we are complimenting the Lord on the vastness of His power and intelligence, and complimenting Him on the intensity of His beauty. Because when you see His craftsmanship, you think, oh, well, you must have a beautiful mind then. If you're going to make a starry night like that, if you're going to make a little baby like Dace, well, you must be a beautiful person. And so you are extrapolating from His craftsmanship what sort of a heart He must have. And you see the generosity of His loving kindness to rescue and to heal. We'll talk about that. And the exhilaration of His romance, because there's a very intense romance that's taking place between the Savior and the soul. And the interestingness. I'm so glad that that's a word. I double checked. I wanted it to be a word, and it does occur. So the interestingness of His plans. God is always surprising, always fresh, always wonderful. He's always so interesting. Like, what's He going to do next? And forever and ever in heaven, when we live with the Lord, He's always going to pop something new on us that is ever more interesting. And so we should praise Him for that. All right. I have talked to you on several occasions when we talked about thanksgiving and when we talked about supplication to let your disorders cue when you should be doing this. Let your disorders cue your praise in today's case. Notice that this is a thing in Scripture. Again, we saw from Psalm 42, verse 5. The psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? You don't say cast down. You say depressed. Why are you depressed, soul? You don't say cast down. You say anxiety. Why are you worried, soul? Why are you? And so that's the psalmist. Why are you depressed? Why are you anxious? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? Why are you upset? You know, there's no quietness. I'm upset. Why are you disquieted? Hope in God. Why? Because I will yet praise Him. See, things are bad, but I'm letting my disorders cue my praise. I'm going to praise Him now because I'm cast down. The same thing in verse 11. Why are you cast down, my soul? I will yet praise Him. I still will. I don't care if you're depressed, if you're anxious. I'm still going to do it. You'll see. In chapter 43, verse 5, it's exactly the same thing. Why are you cast down? Why are you depressed? Why are you worried? Why are you disquieted? You're all upset. Why? Hope in God. I'm going to praise Him. You watch. Of course, we see it in the New Testament, and I love this text and bring it up all the time because it's so important to us all. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good news, if there's anything that is a virtue, and here it is, and if there is anything that is a praise, that's the way it reads in the Greek New Testament. If there's anything that is a praise, is there anything that's a praise? Anything you can think of? Think on that. That's it. Home in on that. Focus on that. That's what we're going to think about. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, oh God. I will praise you. See, focus on that. Let your disorders cue your praise. And that's because it is precisely when your heart is most broken and when you feel most afraid that you really must praise the Lord most loudly and with the most focus. You say, but I don't feel like praising the Lord right now. Yes, but that is precisely when you must. Why are you cast down, on my soul? I will yet, I will still praise the Lord. I'm going to think on these things. If there is any praise in the whole wide world, I'm going to focus my attention on that. You say, I don't feel like I am fascinated with God. I don't feel like I am in wonder of what God does. I just don't feel it. I'm not feeling it. That is exactly when you must praise the Lord most of all. Tammy Trent had this wonderful romance with her young husband. They loved each other when they were 15 years old. And the romance continued. They eventually got married. She became a popular singer in Christian circles. And Trent was an outdoors guy, Mr. Everything, athlete. And he loved to do free diving where he could hold his breath for like 5, 6, 7 minutes without scuba gear, go really deep and, you know, roam around down there. And they were at Jamaica doing a concert, and they were taking the time for a little vacation and went to a lagoon, and he was free diving. And as he was diving, she was watching him. And then she said, you know, I got distracted watching other people, and I quit watching him. And there was this boat that was zinging back and forth, and I thought, that guy should stop that. There are people there. And then all of a sudden she realized, where's Trent? I mean, I haven't seen him come up for a long time. And eventually it was understood that the boat had bashed him in the head and he died in the water. When that realization came, and of course they brought in a dive team and they were trying to find his body. When the realization came, they brought her into the restaurant at the resort there in Jamaica. The restaurant had an office and she collapsed on the floor in the office. And then she stood up and she said, as I walked back and forth across the room, another automatic response began. I just began to praise God and I began to sing songs, anything I could think of. And I was just crying out to God. It's all that I had. I was so broken I could barely get the words out, but still they came. Lyrics I had written or recorded or sung 1,000 times. I closed my eyes and started to sing. The words that came to me were lyrics that had everything to do with my life at that exact moment. And they flowed out of me like a lifeline tying me to hope. Say, I don't feel like praising right now. That is exactly when you must praise. That's exactly the time to praise. And if you think, well, I don't know if I could ever praise without ceasing, as, you know, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't know if I can do that. I think you can do that if you let your disorders cue your praise. When you start to be afraid, when you start to feel down, that's when you do praise. That's exactly when you praise. Don Piper actually died in a car accident. The EMTs pulled the canvas over his head and they let him sit there apparently dead for a long time. He says 90 minutes. And then this Baptist pastor came and said, I know him because Don Piper is a Baptist pastor. He said, can I pray with him? And the policeman said, that guy, you don't want to look at that guy. He's dead. He said, well, can I go over there and just pray anyway? Pray for his family. He said, okay. And the Baptist pastor is over there singing and Don Piper woke up. But he's so close to dead. He's all broken to bits in this terrible car accident. He's in pain in his hospital room. He says, as preposterous as that prospect of listening to praise music, he feels he's in so much pain. He's so depressed. He just wants to die. As preposterous as that prospect seemed, at 3 o'clock in the morning in a hospital bed, the whole song centered on praising God in spite of our circumstances. And before they finished singing the song, I lay there and heard my own voice say, praise the Lord. And then the dam broke. Tears slid down my cheeks, and I cried as I had never wept before. Calmness swept over me, and I lay relaxed and very much at peace. My depression had lifted, vanished. say, well, I just don't feel like it. What I really feel like is just dying. That is exactly when you must praise the Lord. That's exactly when you must let your disorders cue your praise. One widow talked about how praising the Lord in song helped her. She said, yesterday I had a particularly hard time. I remembered that he would never come home again. All right, Lord, I'll sing. Even when I just have to walk the floor to keep from collapsing, I find that his love comes pouring through. So now I have a new habit. I sing my prayers. All I need to do ever is to keep my window open to him. Minute by minute, I keep aware that he has said, lo, I'm with you always. So you let your disorders cue your praise. And I think we are all disordered enough that we'll praise continually every time we start to feel afraid and every time we start to feel sad. Let your disorders cue your praise, and you will have the Lord's praise continually in your mouth. All right, so what shall we praise him for? In Jonathan Edwards' day, they said, the people said, help me out here. I want to praise the Lord, but I'm afraid I don't praise him as well as I wish I could. So everybody help me praise him, okay? So help me. Praise for what? Psalm 107, verse 8, 15, 21, 31, all say the same thing. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. In Isaiah 25, verse 1, I'll praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Psalm 150, verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Psalm 21, verse 13, we sing and praise your power. Psalm 139, verse 14, I'll praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 148, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. See, all those, God's power, his mighty acts, his creation, we should praise him for that. And by the way, you're going to see that both in Scripture and in the praises that our human poets have written, there is a motif, there's a formula, and it goes something like this. Oh, because you have come to believe that God is the creator of the world. You see, if the Lord were not the creator, if the world was just here because of random things going on, then we wouldn't know how to praise. But you do believe in creation. You do believe in a creator. So here's how your thoughts go, same as everywhere in Scripture. Your thoughts go like this. Do you see the vastness of that starry sky? What sort of superpower and superintelligence would it require to make a thing like that? And then it narrows down. Oh, and that, the entire cosmos is the stage for human beings because the Lord told Adam, this is all yours. You arise and you subdue it. I did this as a stage for you. And not just for humanity in general, then it comes down and the vastness, that super intelligence, that superpower is for humankind. It's also coming to bear on my personal life. So you see, you've gone from vastness to me, the intelligence of God, the power of God coming to bear on my personal problems. And that's how it always goes, both in Scripture and in our human poets' minds. So here's how we pray. We're going to praise the Lord for what he looks like and what he does. Well, what does he look like? The hymn says, immortal, invisible. And I love this theology. You know, we should sing this song just to memorize these words. Immortal, invisible. That's what God looks like. He looks invisible. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light, inaccessible. As Paul tells Timothy, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. In light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. His radiance is too big for us. We can't go there. I love this. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as night, never lacking anything, and never wasting. I mean, each word is like a sledgehammer to the chest. Unresting, he's always busy. God is always working. Unresting, unhasting, no urgency. We're good. We're good. We got it. It's all according to the plan. And silent as light. Ooh, I don't see it. Yeah, but it's happening. Nor lacking, never missing anything. And never wasting. God is simply too smart to ever waste anything. Your suffering is never wasted. Think that was a big waste of time. That was the worst thing that ever happened to me, and there's nothing good that can ever come out of that. God cannot possibly be wasteful. It's against his personality. How could he possibly waste anything when he has all knowledge and weaves it all together? It's impossible for God to waste your suffering. He is the true life of all. To all life you give, to both great and small, all life is given by you, and all life you live, the true life of all. God is the life that makes all of this possible. And nothing changes you. See, that's praising God for the kind of person he is. It's what he looks like. It's what he does. I sing the mighty power of God. That's what the psalm said. We're going to praise him for his power. All right. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. I mean, the vast mountains. I love to go to the mountains. I love to look at the mountains. God did that. The vastness of the mountains and the flowing seas and built the lofty skies. Lord, how your wonders are displayed wherever I look. If I look at the ground or if I look up, I see your powers. While all that borrows life from thee, you are the true life giver. We're all borrowing life from you. And Lord, everywhere we go, you're present there. See, that's what God is like. It's his personality. It's what he looks like. It's what he does. The way God looks and acts. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. He's the King of creation. You see that? He did that. And he's your help. See, this whole thing, this cosmos is a stage for humankind and God's interaction with his friends. Have you not seen how your desires have been granted and what he ordains? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He did that for you. Have you not seen that? Praise the Lord who does prosper your work and defend you. What if the Lord had not defended you all of those times? Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew. Think about this. When you look at the vastness of the sky, the beauty of the mountains, the vastness of the ocean, ponder this anew. What the Almighty could do if with his love he befriended you. So I would want to be a friend of God. That's the way God looks and the way God acts. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, you see all that? And how about the love which from our birth over and around us lies? See the beauty, the vastness of God. It's what he does. And I extrapolate from his craftsmanship that he must be a beautiful person. And for the joy of human love, because every human who loves ever any person or even any creature, that love has been given as a grace of God. This would be even if this person is lost and has no interest in godly things. Every bit of love he's ever shown has come from God. And so for the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, we praise you for this. Somebody was gentle with me. Somebody was mild with me. Somebody loves me. I praise you for that, Lord. And so you see the greatness of God, the way he looks, the way he acts. All right, so what else should we praise him for? That's the way he looks, the way he acts, for his power. All right. Psalm 138, verse 2, I'll praise your name for your truth. 119, verse 164, I'll praise you because of your righteous judgments. Psalm 99, verse 3, let them praise for your name is holy. Revelation 19, 6, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. For your truth, your justice, you're the boss of the whole world. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, merciful and mighty. Like if he's just strong but not good, that would be scary. But he's both. Merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, only you are holy. There's none beside you. You're perfect in power. You can make the whole world perfect in power, but not just power. You're also perfect in love. If it was just love but no power, you'd stand by and helplessly. But you're never helpless. You have all power. If it's just power but no love, then maybe you wouldn't like me. Maybe you wouldn't sympathize with me. Holy, 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 all the saints adore you, Lord. And so you see, that's the holiness, the righteousness, the truth of God all welded together into one wonderful personality. Praise for what else? I love this. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life. my lips shall praise you. I'm going to praise you, Lord, because actually your loving kindness is better than life. I'd rather have your loving kindness today and fall over dead than live tomorrow without your loving kindness. Your loving kindness is better than life. And the word loving kindness is so great, too. We come up with that. You know, there's no real word, loving kindness. We're kind of just smashing things together here. It's because in Hebrew, the word is hesed, which tends to mean mercy. But what we're trying to do with the word loving kindness, we're trying to again, weave together three really big ideas. The first idea is obviously kindness or love. The second idea is that this kindness is used in covenant. Like, I will never break my word to you. I said I would do it, and I would do it. So there's going to be kindness, and it's covenant. You can rely on me. But then there's one more aspect, and this is so sweet. It's passion, ardor, devotion. So listen, I said I was going to do it, and I'll do it. You can count on me, but I don't want you to think that I'm doing it just because I promised it and now I regret it. I'm passionate about it. I'm emotional about it. I am not just fulfilling this because I said I would. I'm fulfilling it because I love you. My emotions are in this. And so what do you call that? I said I would do it, and I will do it, and I will be kind, and I'm all emotionally involved. What do you do? Well, basically, the old translators in the King James Version and in that era, they said, well, let's just make up a word. Let's just call it loving kindness. Your loving kindness is better than life. Psalm 138, verse 2, I'll praise your name for your loving kindness. Loving kindness says, I'm sure that's not a word, but let's make it one. Too many to describe. So we have the song, you're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How many reasons? In the Psalm, 103rd Psalm, we have reasons. He's mentioned five of them here. But really, it's like 10,000 reasons. His loving kindnesses, you know, that he's emotionally involved, that he's absolutely reliable, and that he's good to us. That's so wonderful. Praise for what? Well, it comes up all the time, right? Praise the Lord because his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. In the 136th Psalm, every single verse, his mercy endures forever. Ezra 3:11, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 135, verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Psalm 107, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, all the same. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. He's just so good to us. And that mercy, that goodness, that loving kindness. Loving kindness is too deep to describe, beyond. So when you're looking at the cosmos, the thing that God has created, then you are supposed to extrapolate that this wonderful genius and beauty now comes to bear on my personal life. It's bigger than the universe. God's love is bigger than the universe. His power is great and will ever endure. His wisdom is peaceable, gentle, and pure. But greater than all these glories I see is the glorious promise that he cares for me. Bigger than the universe, the genius, the power, the attention to detail is now brought to me. I can cast all my care upon him because he honestly cares for me. God, feel sorry for me. How wonderful. Could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God to man would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. As big as that is, the love of God is bigger still. And it comes to bear on my problem today. The thing that makes me afraid. The thing that makes me sad. How can we not see it? I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then sings my soul. And when I think that God, his son, because it always goes from the universe to our own situation. And when I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul. And when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I'll bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great you are. So you see the vastness of the sky, the genius, the power, the attention to detail. And then it was focused on saving us. And it's just wonderful. God's love is bigger than that. Loving kindness too deep to describe, beyond the size of the universe. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Thou changest not, your compassions never fail. As you have been, you forever will be. And just look at what's around us. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above. The sun always comes up tomorrow. Every single day the sun comes up. And they join with all nature in manifold witness to your great faithfulness. The sun comes up every morning. You're always the same. Your mercy and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Your own dear presence to cheer me and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Do you know when you need that? When you feel depressed? When you feel so afraid? Here's what you need to know. Strength for now and bright hope for tomorrow. A peace that endures. These blessings are mine, and once again, 10,000 beside. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Praise him for what? Well, his loving kindnesses that are as big as the universe, but bigger than the universe. Praise him for what? I will praise you because you've heard me. I am helped, therefore I will praise him. Praise the Lord, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Like, you really want to relate to me? Really? Ephesians 1:6. Praise him for the glory of his grace, the radiance of his kindness. I want to praise him for that. Oh, the rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. The Lord has helped me. He wants to be in a relationship with me. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have ever thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men like me? Rescued, helped. You heard me, Lord. That's the Son. Let's talk about the Spirit. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Hopelessly lost. That was us, and the Lord helped us. So we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit, now the Father. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness, in my weakness, I feel so afraid right now. I feel so sad right now. I feel like I just can't catch a break in this world, infinite Father. Here in our weakness, you find us falling before your throne. You're the one that we praise. You're the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. That's why we praise him. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. This is where the universe comes into alignment. This is where things make sense. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, that's where you are. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. See, that's why we praise him, because his loving kindness rescues us and heals us. How many names can I use to explain? Remember Jonathan Edwards, people said, I want to praise the Lord, but I'm afraid I can't do it like I wish, so somebody help me. And the poets help us with these songs. How many names can I use to explain the love of my Jesus, the life that he gave? And so many times will I praise you today. I lift up my life because you're always the same, and my offering to you I bring. Your name is Jesus. You're the wonderful counselor, my friend. You're what I hold on to. I know that you brought me through all the days of loss, and you brought me to the cross. You knew I need a Savior. I need you, Savior. That's how you pray when you're depressed. That's how you pray when you're worried. Loving kindness that rescues and heals. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, our eternal home. Under the shadow of your throne, thy saints dwelt secure, and our defense is sure. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. Be our guide while life shall last, and be our eternal home. Everybody's leaving us. Time is bearing them all away. Lord, you have to help us. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. So many bad things. His word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abides. His kingdom is forever. That's a praise for loving kindness that rescues, that makes a bulwark around us. Oh, I love this. There's joy in the morning, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. One of the most important lines of music in, I think, any of our thoughts. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens. Praise because of loving kindness that heals. Praise for what? Well, Psalm 103 is just wonderful from start to finish. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, for his benefits. He heals our iniquities, forgives our iniquities, heals our diseases, redeems our lives. And then verse 13, like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. There it is. The Lord actually feels sorry for you. The Lord does care. Does Jesus care when my heart is broken? The Lord pities you like a father pities his child. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed, and you won't start now. There's like a romance to this. The father loves his child. You never failed, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name, for I am yours, and you're mine. Loving kindness like a romance. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. But I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. And you're perfect in all of your ways. Like a romance, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. And when I'm alone, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but just give me Jesus. You think the Lord likes to hear that? And don't you think that's what you need to be focusing on when you're down? Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. If I felt like Satan was marching up and down the hallways of my house, and that he was picking me up like a rag doll and shaking me, I would like to sing this song. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I feel like I'm being pushed around and bullied on every side, but I'm a child of God. I know how this is going to turn out. Daddy's coming. Daddy's watching and Daddy's coming. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Like as a father pities his children, so our God pities them that fear him. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. You're my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, your presence is my light. You're my great father and I'm your true son. Thou and me dwelling, and I with thee one. High King of heaven, you're my treasure. See, that's praise. That's loving kindness like a romance between you and the Lord. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. Nobody can describe it. You know, help me describe it, but nobody can. No voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind. O hope of every contrite heart. O joy of all the meek. To those who fall, Lord, I fall all the time. To those who fall, how kind thou art. How good to those who seek. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. The things I've done, the things I've seen, melt into a lifelong dream. When I recall what I've gone through, I'm so glad I've been there with you. My mind forgets a million things, places, dates, and names of kings. Lord, only one memory stays new, the day I gave my life to you. You're just talking to the Lord. It's a romance. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing the Lord a new song. There's always a need for another song. Not just the one you sang this morning, but the one you're going to sing now. Always another song. And maybe one that hasn't even been made up yet. There's always a need for a new song. Now every day is filled with purpose. All the old is made new. And I know I owe it all to you. So as long as there is time and one breath left in me, there will always be one more song for you, Lord. See, praising the Lord from sunrise to sunset. Praising the Lord until you die. Praise for what kind of a person God is. We've talked about all of those wonderful categories. And now let me just buzz through this very quickly. Here's what happens. Sometimes awe just settles upon you. And that's great. That motivates our praise. You are holy, inhabiting the praises of Israel. When we praise, the Lord is like there. Thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Of course, it meant that the Lord is in the temple and all these people are praising and God is in the middle of that. But it's true for us too. The Lord, when you praise the Lord, when you draw near to God, what does he do? He draws near to you. He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It's pleasant. It is pleasant. And the Lord takes pleasure in it. And when you praise, you glorify God. Jehoshaphat had three strong nations against him. Ammon, Moab, and Edom. The Lord said, just prepare singers. You're not going to have to fight this battle. And they went into battle. And as they were going, the singers started their song. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever and ever. And I always love the story. You can imagine the three nations there, and they hear the song before they see anything. That's always the way. What's that noise? What's that noise? What are they saying? Saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever and ever. And as the army comes close with the singers, first and foremost, praise the Lord. The story goes that the Ammonites, Moabites, and Edomites got in a panic, began to argue with one another, and in their confusion, they all killed one another. When they praised the Lord set ambushments. The Lord fixed everything. When you praise the Lord will fix you. And that's what happens where we started today with Paul and Silas in jail. They praised the Lord, and the Lord fixed it. When you praise the Lord will fix you. Unceasing praise is what provides a fresh infusion of awe into every day. Even if your day is otherwise hard and uninspiring, if you'll praise the Lord, the awe of life will come to you. Awe certainly does motivate praise. Sometimes it settles on us accidentally. Like, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the universe thy hands have made, I see the stars, and you're looking at the stars, and all of a sudden, awe has settled on me. See, that's great. We love that. But most importantly for today, awe comes especially after we begin to praise the Lord. You have to force yourself to do what you don't feel like doing, because as you draw near to the Lord is going to draw near to you and he's going to fix you. And it's the praises of the Lord when you force yourself to do it, when you say, my heart is fixed, I am determined, I shall praise the Lord. When you begin that, Now you're inviting awe, and awe comes when it never otherwise would have come. And that's why this is a life-changing lesson. If the men who help us with our communion service will come at this time,